It's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots going on in the world of sports tonight and heading into the weekend, another college and NFL football weekend, although not for the Indiana Hoosiers as they have their bye week. Well-timed here as they could desperately use a week off, and then their home stretch comes, their last quarter, or rather third of the season, with home games against Iowa and Michigan, both top 15 ranked teams, Iowa top 10 now. Then they finish up the season on the road against Maryland and Purdue. So we'll look forward to the last four games of the Hoosier season next week. Again, Iowa on the 7th. Yet to announce when that is going to be on and what channel that is going to be on. But those become big games, obviously, all four of them, as the Hoosiers still need to win two more to become bowl eligible this season. However, the NFL season still well underway, and the Colts heading towards the weekend. They'll be on Monday night here on WGCL, so our Monday night program will go to 7:30 rather than 7:45, where we'll pick up Bob Lamy on Monday night with the pregame for Monday Night Football. At Carolina are the Indianapolis Colts on Monday night, so a daunting task ahead of them. In addition, the Pacers start their NBA season tonight, and we've got the World Series. Game one last night went to 14 innings with Kansas City winning at home. Some drama throughout the game, including just losing the feed altogether for Fox. But what else is new? Let's get right to the craziness in the World Series. And Glass, with college football, Indiana, we've got a week off. It's a good time, certainly, for this team to rest, this time to get healthy. Speaking of not getting healthy, unfortunately, we heard today in the Big Ten, guy you and I had a chance to interview several years ago, Jerry Kill, announced his retirement or resigning, whatever you want to call it, at the University of Minnesota. His epilepsy finally got the better of him. This is a very good football coach, but a guy that health-wise just wasn't able to go anymore. And it's sad to see this guy go, because he's kind of a throwback to the toughness era, if you will, of college football, and has made, has been successful everywhere he's gone, and been impressive doing it.
Yep, and his health is more important. You only get one crack at that. I know coaching is in his blood and all those other things, but you had seen over the years – boy, he had kidney issues.
He had a seizure, and because of the seizure, they found he had kidney cancer.
Right.
They didn't even know he had it.
And then he's got epilepsy
and
now.
Now he's got epilepsy.
Yeah, it's just, again, the hours required for that job and the stress level on that job cannot be conducive. It's not – Urban Meyer quit, and he didn't have any problems.
Right.
Now, that tells you what goes on at that level. So you hope for his best. And, yes, he was – we interviewed him before Southern Illinois played Indiana one year in, was it 2007 or 2008? I've tried to erase it from my memory because his team came in and won that day.
Yeah, it was 21-0 Hoosiers in that game. He took over for my dad at Northern Illinois.
Right.
And the people up there would have liked for him to stay longer, and that's about the only bad thing they had to say about Jerry Kill. Otherwise, they really liked him. Going back to the Hoosiers here, though, the Hoosiers look forward to this week off.
And yeah, they need it.
With all the injuries, little injuries here and there that they've had, certainly Knicks, they desperately could use a week
off. The good news about the break is you come out of the bye into a home game. You're not going on the road somewhere. And
right.
I think that's double bonus points for Indiana as well. You just did Michigan State on the road. Where were they the week before that? Were they at Penn State?
Home against Rutgers.
Okay, home against Rutgers. So you get two really tough, one, some of your own doing, the second one, some of your own doing, and a good, tough football team. And now you get a chance to, I don't want to say relax, but that's going to be part of it, because I think when you play that many kids, and I'm talking underclassmen, they need a mental break as well as a physical break.
Absolutely.
Involved with that. So it sounded like, after hearing Coach Wilson's comments on Monday, that it was going to be a week of just getting fit, staying in shape, lifting, doing all that. Then they'll get into the football on the weekend. And maybe that's the recharge and batteries they need, or maybe they do some extra film work where you've got this extra time, you can actually take it. It's 20 more hours, but you're not running around with a game cutting into that time.
Right.
And that helps. And that's why in the development of this program, the bowl game is so important, because those 15 extra practices, leading into your bowl game mm-hmm. is time you can't replicate or make anywhere else in informal workouts.
Well, it's
you
teaching.
You can't do that. It is.
It's teaching.
And it's teaching it's, with – there's a difference, and I think your dad would tell you this and me this as well. There's a difference teaching when there's nothing to go on except for 9 months down the road.
Right.
And you start in January, you can do these workouts, and you want to get technique, and you want to do this. Mm-hmm. Well, this is how it works, because I'm still working against you, because I got a game coming up. I got to beat you out for a position.
Exactly.
It's totally different
everything
than
during
workouts.
The week is scheduled to get you ready for Saturday.
Games.
And then you come back on Monday or Tuesday, and you're right back into that.
And depth is great because it makes those positions competitive. It makes practice competitive, and you get those extra practices. Those are allowable. But, Dave, if you're not in a bowl game, do you get those practices?
No.
Well, that's the thing. That's the hookup, because who needs the practices more, bowl teams or teams like on the cusp where Indiana
right.
is? So in the bizarreness of the NCAA, that's one of the most bizarre things ever, because I thought, and I'm not 100% sure on this, so I hate saying things like this. I thought at one point basketball could practice up to the Final Four.
I believe so.
Now, I think they've changed that
since. They might
since.
Have, but that was the case.
I'm almost positive that yep. was the case. But so why would you let one do it and not the anyhow? The point of the matter is that is the developmental time. That's why the bowl is so important. That's why these last four games are so important, because how many bowl games has Rutgers been to in the last 10 years? Nine?
I think
eight?
It's nine out
yeah.
of 10.
So they have that.
That's the
and
point.
You wonder why maybe they're, it's Rutgers.
Yeah, people laughed at me when I said, you know, Rutgers isn't that bad. I mean,
no,
they don't
not.
Look great right now. They got the issue
how
off the
field. How
we lost
was
that's
bad.
That's
that
embarrassing.
Was bad.
Yeah, there's no question that the Rutgers didn't sound phenomenal coming in. But they're, as a program, they've been to nine
yes.
out of the bowls in 10 years. They've had success. They've been recruiting on top of each other
so their
for a while now.
So they're seniors have had 60 they've more all, practices.
Exactly right. And they've been there for a long time. They have a winning attitude. They know what all that takes. That makes a difference when you're down 26 points.
It does, because you've found a way, you've had the extra time to do all that. So that's why the bowl game is important. The bye, you can't choose your bye week, but again, coming out of the bye into a game against a perhaps top 10 team, Iowa is number 10 this week,
yeah.
at home, again, that lights the candle up quickly. It's not coming out of a bye and having 2-9 Rutgers come to town, or, well, I guess that doesn't happen. He's told me 9 out of 10 years are going to bowl games,
mm-hmm.
or whoever that is. So it should fire it right back up. Hopefully the health issues, all the ankles that are sore, all the linemen that have knocks, everybody playing with twings and twitches and everything else, hopefully that's better, and you give Iowa a good shot, and you start the last four games. It's not life or death, Dave, but we know math tells us they must win two of them. They have yeah. Iowa and Michigan at home, and they traveled to Maryland and to Purdue for the bucket, trying to win, what, for the third bucket in a row?
I believe
and
so.
That doesn't happen very often. And history in the Big Ten tells us, on the road, Indiana doesn't happen very often. They've mm-hmm. played some fine games. They've given some fine efforts. But the W next to the column that it needs to be, there isn't one for fine efforts and playing really well. So that's the next step. So the bye week, let's hope the ankles get healthy. It'd be nice to see this complement of players that we thought earlier in the season could make some things happen. It'd be nice to see them all healthy for the run-in to try to take that next step into a bowl game.
And speaking about being healthy and looking at your season, IU basketball, Hoosier Hysteria
Oops,
was
baby.
Saturday afternoon, or Saturday evening, rather, and we'll talk a little bit about the season looking forward. The first exhibition is next Tuesday already, and Haunted Hall of Hoops is this Saturday.
Yeah, big so event coming
we'll
up.
We'll talk about all that when we get back. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. Again, heading towards a big football weekend once again, but with the Hoosiers taking the week off and with the Colts playing Monday night, we'll have plenty of time to preview the Colts Monday. So we're going to move it right on over
Oops.
To the indoor sport of question, of concern around here in the state of Indiana and in Bloomington. Indiana basketball had Hoosier hysteria on Saturday night. And if you followed what went on then you realize that Troy Williams is going to lead the nation in scoring. And it's going to be half dunks and half three-pointers. He's going to score 35 points a game.
You wouldn't hear me
Everybody
complain.
Else will rebound because they won't need to score because they can just sit around the basket. But they won't need to rebound because he won't miss.
I wouldn't care if he didn't play a lick of defense if he got 35 a night. You got to give to
Well, look, let's be fair here, though. That is the thing that stands out. If you want anything to stand out, is that we knew that Troy was not a perimeter threat, so people could sag off him a little bit. If he can mix a perimeter threat with his ability to get to the basket and certainly his ability to not travel, that would be a wonderful thing for him.
And what needs to catch up is his basketball to his brain. And what I mean by that is he is so quick, so agile, and so athletic. He's gone before he thinks whether it's a good idea or not.
Yeah.
That's the next stage in the development I think is more pertinent than whether or not he's knocking down 60%, 50% from three, 40% from three.
Yes, it's impressive that he's worked on his game.
Why wouldn't
to put this in? I mean, you got to give him a ton of credit for doing that.
I would hope a kid coming back that for
listens to what the NBA guys say.
Gone or for he didn't go to the NBA because they didn't think he was ready for it, and you would hope. That doesn't worry me. When guys stay, they should get better. And obviously you've seen Williams. The rawness is unbelievable. You can't coach you can't teach any of the rawness. You can coach it. And that for me is the next key. And before anybody calls up and tells me what he shot from the three-point line last year, I know the percentage was great. It was about seven shots.
He didn't take
just relax?
He knocked down a couple.
I saw
some
national site said, hey, this is a kid to watch, and they listed his three-point percentage there. And I'm like, that's not fair.
Yeah,
you can't expect that. But what you can expect is improvement, and I don't think that's going out on the limb at all. They talk about how these kids are gym rats and how they like being in the gym, and that's fantastic. And you know what, Dave? That's how it should be. I'm not being callous here, but that's what it should be. When you come to play for Indiana University and you play for the basketball team, that working hard shouldn't be a patted on the back thing. That should be number one expectation. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you think everybody needs to get better, and this leads me to my next point. It's not going to be the offense that's going to be the problem for this team. It's going to be whether they can guard and win close games. And when we watched the finish of last season, their last six losses, I believe, and I've gone through this enough times where my head is spun, they never led or tied in their last six losses in the final 10 minutes of the game, except for the Yogi Ferrell three against Purdue, and Davis went down the court the next second and laid the ball in. So in the last six games, in the last quarter of the game, 10 minutes. I'm not talking about 2 minutes,
right.
90 seconds. They didn't tie the game or lead the game when they lost. That's the next step for me. Mm-hmm. If you're going to blow people out of the gym, I'll sit there and fan the flames and throw gas on it.
The Maryland game was tight all the way, but didn't take the lead.
Or tie the game.
Yeah.
Those are facts.
Right.
And the next step to becoming a good team is, when it's not going your way, is to figure out how to turn it into your way. What is Indiana going to take away? Is that defense, rebounding? Is that what they do on the opposite end of the court? Do they get easier baskets, or do they have to rely on forced jump shots, or do they have to rely on tough threes? Those are some of the things you saw in those games. When it got tight, things got tight. And it's a young team. We've heard that exactly. But now you've got junior Troy Williams, you've got a senior point guard who's one of the best in the league, if not in the country. You've got guys who have been through some of these wars. Robert Johnson played almost every minute he was healthy last year. James Blackman Jr. All these guys are ready to contribute, and the next step for them, in my opinion, is when they're in those dogfights. We talk about IU football having some moral close ones and good jobbers. Well, that's the difference that separates teams going deep into either the Big Ten tournament, which has been an issue for Indiana, and going deep into the NCAA tournament. The exciting part is there is buckets and buckets and buckets of offense. There is front court size and hope in Thomas Bryant. They're not as deep as perhaps they would have liked to have been at this time last year. They were, you could argue, if they had those guys back, but those guys aren't here for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully the culture of the
hopefully
it's had a good effect and a positive effect and improved it. And you've got a couple guys that can shoot it. Blackman can shoot the lights out of the basketball. They're balanced. The offense, Dave, isn't going to be the issue for me. It's what kind of commitment do they make defensively? What kind of commitment do they make in this new shot clock era?
Yep.
Are you going to see new stuff?
30 seconds instead of 35.
That's five less seconds you have to guard.
Right.
You're running out of stuff to tell me why the defense isn't working.
Right.
So I'm excited to see those changes made, because in the offseason, The off-the-court issues, dead and buried. They're not talking about them there. I think that's fair. I think it is dead and buried. I don't think that needs to be revisited.
Right.
But what needs to be revisited is why these games weren't being closed out, even at home. Iowa at home, Michigan State at home with no who didn't play that game? Kid sat on the bench, whole game, street closed. Didn't even play. It wasn't Valentine. It was the other kid.
Yeah.
But, again, those were opportunities that this team got to the top, saw up there, it was, whoa, that's pretty cool. I'm at the pool, the bar. Hey, look at this. But they couldn't get over that hump. And that, for me, is going to be – that's the next step. If this team is going to live up to the top 15 ranking expectations, mm-hmm. those are games you have to find the fortitude to make plays, make stops, get rebounds, score, and come back and win.
333-2665 is our phone number again. Haunted Hall of Hoops is this
– yeah, great event.
Saturday. The scrimmage is set for 2:30. The doors to the Assembly Hall will open at 1:30. You're going to want to get online and look into this a little bit because, of course, with the construction over there, you're not going to be able to get in the south end. So I believe it's going to be the north end that it'll open up
sure.
in.
2:15
is actually when the doors to the court open. So there's going to be candy and stuff going on for the kids early
games.
On, scrimmage for a little while at 2:30, and then autographs and a parade afterwards. But you get a chance at least to see a bit of a scrimmage. Let's talk about this team, though, on the field, first of all, and a little bit off, because while you think you have a senior leader in Yogi Ferrell, just by the way you'd look at it and the fact that he's a point guard and the fact that he's a senior and all the things that have gone along with it the last couple of years, I think at the very least it's fair to question how much leadership there has been in the program the last few years, given the issues. I don't think that's unfair to say. So the first question to me is, do we see senior leadership? Do we see guys stepping up with this particular team? You've got Yogi back. He's in his last year unquestioned now at this point in time as a senior. You bring in Max Bielfeld from Michigan as a fifth-year grad student, senior. They say he's doing well, and he's getting stronger and stronger. You get Nick Zeisloft as a fifth-year guy that's in here. You've got more veterans than you've had the last couple years on this Indiana basketball team. How does that translate to leadership on and off the court, do you think?
The only teams that have leadership issues are the ones that don't win and do what they're expected to do. I think that's obvious. And the other thing people have to remember is just because you become a senior doesn't mean you're going to automatically develop into a leader. Some guys just don't have that personality trait.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys want to just do their thing, hop on, lead through example. There's nothing wrong with leading through example either. Who is the vocal leader? I don't know. I don't know who that's going to be. It's an interesting question because is it the guy? What's more important? Is it the guy leading on the court or is it the guy leading practice? What's more important for a team? Is it being prepared and ready to go or is it what's happening on the floor? And I think this year will be easier for Yogi to assume more of those details because he will have more pieces around him.
Mm-hmm.
When Troy Williams disappeared in games, and we'll run through them if you want us to, and James Blackman had a bum knee, and Robert Johnson had a bad knee,
yeah.
Or they would shut down Blackman because and the freshman hit the wall later in the year.
Right.
Yogi looked around and saw what?
Himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't going to Stan.
Yeah.
Wasn't going
and
to Hunter.
6'6 center.
It wasn't going to.
Right.
It wasn't going to Priller.
Right.
Well, that's not how it was going. I mean, he didn't play. But you get the point. When it's 8 seconds left in the shot clock and nobody's doing what you need him to do, that falls on him. And I think point guards, Bracey Wright took a bad rap here for that.
Yeah.
He was surrounded by less than Yogi considerably.
Yes.
And when he had the ball, you're not going to dribble out the clock trying to get into your offense for a shot clock violation to show everybody you're dribbling out the clock to get into your offense. You're going to shoot the basketball. You have to do
right.
something with it, make plays. And that hurts your field goal percentage. That hurts your stats. It hurts everything. Because
right.
you have to make a tough decision. Sometimes that leads to turnovers, whatever it can be. I think that leadership will come a little bit more easily for him because leading by passing the ball to a guy from 14 feet away that takes a dribble and lays the ball in instead of dribbling off his foot out of bounds for a turnover, that loosens up everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That makes everybody aware when other guys can contribute, and you can't shut Indiana down by saying, let Ferrell do what he wants, just lock down Blackman and somebody stay in front of Williams.
Well, look,
that's not going to be the easy way out.
No,
it was last year.
There are options, and we'll talk about the upfront game here after the break. But what intrigues me about this from this standpoint is you do have seniors on the field or on the court rather, two of which are fifth year guys. And these guys are going to be out there a lot. Now, Nick Zeisloft isn't going to play 30 minutes a game, but you might end up seeing quite a bit of Max Bielfeld this year because of the situations in the offseason. You're going to see Nick Zeisloft out there. You're going to see seniors on the floor on a more regular basis.
And so don't forget,
it's not just some walk on. one who's busting his butt in drills and
Crane
stuff like
talked
that.
About Colin Hartman. Because
a lot of these kids,
year.
I don't think, pay that much attention to those guys.
They
so.
Don't. Colin Hartman was pointed out last year. He went to a lot of press conferences after games.
Right.
So
that's right.
That's another guy.
Zaislav did also.
And please be healthy. Yep. That's all you can ask for as well with all of that. So you have different layers of leadership. But you're right. The guy in the scout team can't be your leader.
No.
It can't be. You're not going to get to that level.
No offense to Ryan Burton, who's probably
a
real nice kid and glad to see he's here and has made it through 5 years and hopefully has a good season.
And Bielefeld has been here since May. So you can't throw that all on his lap. So by default, the maturity of Troy Williams on the court with his game and Yogi Ferrell's leadership of it, I think Robert Johnson will slide into a little bit of that role. I don't think you need to have the guy that sticks his chest out and beats the floor every time down the court.
Right.
I think you need to get the group into it, especially on the defensive end. If you're going to change the mixed defenses, that comes from everybody. Everybody's got to pay attention. You can yell the loudest, but if no one listens, no one listens.
Yeah, communication has got to work for it to be good communication. We'll take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. When we get back, adding three freshmen to this team and a rather important one down low. We'll talk about the upfront game when we get back. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming note, tomorrow night we've got NFL football, Miami at New England.
Ooh.
8 o'clock.
Tasty.
I know, this is going to be the week New England loses, right?
The Dolphins are on fire.
Well,
new
we
coach.
Certainly hope so. Go beat up Tom Brady a little bit.
And New England, good luck with that.
8 o'clock tomorrow night is the pregame for that. Kickoff just after 8:30. Friday night, we've got sectional football as South heads over to North, the 51st meeting. Chalk Talk is 6:30 and kickoff at 7 o'clock for that Friday night with Joe and John. And then Saturday, we've got college football with Illinois at Penn State, 11:30 a.m. pregame and noon kickoff for that game. 333-2665 is our phone number. Talking IU basketball again. Haunted Hall of Hoops is Saturday. There is a scrimmage, 2:30 for that. Get online at iuhoosiers.com to look into the details for that.
All of them are there.
And we have a phone call.
John, good afternoon. Talking hoops.
What's up, John?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
How much? What's happening?
I got a comment and then two questions for you guys concerning basketball. As far as the leadership is concerned, I was here when Quinn Buckner got here and Isaiah Thomas was here as freshmen. The two best leaders that I've seen. Because they led by example and they were natural leaders. You can't fake it as a leader. I mean, Yogi's a guy that's going to do stuff by example, but he doesn't have the leadership skills that most guys don't, to be fair. So they just have to play through that. But, and when Isaiah was here, he was, as a freshman, IU had three guys that were big, ended up being Big Ten most valuable players as seniors and first-round draft picks, and they still deferred to him because of his talent and his leadership skills. That's probably once in at least 50 years thing. So you don't expect that to happen from guys like Joe Hillman was a good leader, but it helped to have a guy like Jay Edwards who can make shots at the end of the game.
Yeah, ultimately leadership is whether you get people to listen to you and your message. It can't just be that you deliver the message and you deliver it loudly and frequently.
Antoine Randall was a great leader, but nobody wanted to listen to him.
Right.
But so that doesn't work out. Okay, here's the two questions.
All right.
I'll make it fast so you guys
can get you have time. Take your time. And I think back to the leadership point, I think people have to remember there is no requirement. And sometimes it doesn't happen in the first practice, and sometimes it doesn't happen in the first exhibition game, and sometimes it doesn't happen until halfway through the Big Ten season. So there's no time limit. There's no book or page or chapter or appendix to turn to make it happen faster. Sometimes you have to let it organically develop. And when you push it on some guys, John, some guys don't want it. That's the other thing people forget.
Yeah.
They don't. That's not their thing, and they might not want to deal with that. So we'll see how it works. But winning solves a lot of those problems. You don't have to worry about that. Yeah. I mean, if you go to Maui and win Maui, who cares who your leader is? You're playing good basketball.
Right,
let's keep that in mind.
Leader's
going forward, too.
What's your question, John?
Leader of beer.
Okay, I got two questions for you. First one, first one is, late in the game, when the game is tied and Indiana has the ball, who is your first option to score the ball? Obviously, you want to get the ball to the guy who has the best chance of scoring, but who do you think should be the guy that is the first guy to look to score?
Yogi Ferrell.
That's the first question.
Yeah. And I'll tell you why.
The second question is, we know who four of those starters are going to be. Who do you like as a fifth starter? I'm going to say Colin Hartman myself because I think he's a glue guy that you can play through. He makes the extra pass. He'll rebound. He'll fight inside. And you can put Troy Williams where he really belongs at the three instead of the four.
Well, and let's establish. I mean, I think the obvious to most people is Thomas Bryant, Yogi Ferrell, James Blackman, Troy Williams. So the question is, who's number five? And there's the question is, do they go smaller again?
Absolutely.
Or do they go bigger and move Troy to the
three?
It's going
to depend on the opponent. But I think they move Troy. It doesn't matter. There is no four or five anymore. Not the way Indiana plays offense. You don't have to worry about that. They put four guys in the perimeter, four around. One stick Bryant in the middle. You think that'll work, John?
I think the interesting thing about that other spot is whether it's Robert Johnson, whether it's a guy like Juwan Morgan or somebody like that, one of the young guys, whether it's Max Bielfeld, whether it's Colin Hartman. I think you've got guys that can be the glue guys, the guys that do everything else.
And don't.
That fourth guy isn't going to be a guy that needs a score like Yogi and James Blackman.
Don't forget, this isn't soccer where you only get three subs and the guys can't come back in. Who starts the game is immaterial. How many times have you seen it? The 17-28 mark?
It's fun to talk about.
There's three. My point is, if it doesn't work, you just whack three more guys in. We've seen five for five. We've seen four at a time. We've seen shift changes, line changes. The point about starting, I'm not looking for starting. I think, John, I'm going to tweak your question for you, and you can help me with this. Who are the five guys that are going to be the most chemistry-orientated offensively and defensively? Because Indiana showed last year they can't just outscore people. And until they show me that, I'm right. not going to buy it. You have to have maybe a guy like Hartman or Bielfeld who can get dirty, get after it. Because when I look at Johnson, Blackman, Yogi, Troy, and Bryant, not a lot of dirt comes to mind.
No, exactly.
You got to have a guy with a shovel digging a ditch.
Johnson can. I think he needs some credit.
Until he does it on a consistent basis.
And I wouldn't have said Colin Hartman in that spot. If I look at it down the line, I look at the big decision is, do you go small with Robert Johnson in there, or do you go bigger and put Max Bielfeld next to a Thomas Bryant? Or is Max Bielfeld the guy that backs up Bryant?
For that many minutes.
The good news is you can sub anytime you want. The good news is you can change it game to game. And the better news is we're talking about options we have.
Yeah.
Last year we were scratching the bottom of the barrel trying to figure out who the eighth guy is going to be. Five starters and the third bench guy had everybody scratching their head, John. So I think that problem is also going to take care of itself in practice. Can you get spot minutes? Yeah, you can probably get spot minutes up to about 11 guys here. And Indiana hasn't had the chance to brag about that in some time. That's a positive. Oh, what was your first question again?
Who gets the ball?
Yogi gets the ball, and here's why. It's a simple fact for me. He's the best free throw shooter, and he's the best penetrator. And if you need
he's
a bucket,
the best with the ball in his hand.
And he can shoot free throws.
And he can shoot from downtown.
Troy's probably the worst.
From anywhere.
Troy's probably the worst matchup.
He can make big shots.
Yeah.
And again, Indiana is going to be more dangerous in those situations because you can't just key on Ferrell.
Well, let's keep in mind. I mean, it's not just who's going to shoot it, because what you can do is if three guys jump on Yogi Ferrell, you've got Troy, you've got Bryant, you've got other guys that are going to be heading to the bucket.
Blackman?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, whether you kick it out to Blackman or Johnson or whether you're looking at somebody else, it's got to be in
Yogi's hands. Or Zeisloft, that's right.
Yeah,
but I think
exactly
Yogi
right.
is – who has kept Yogi consistently in front of him on the defensive end?
Nobody.
Troy's been close, and that's
2 years ago, we had inside game, and we had no outside shooters other than Yogi. Last year, we didn't have any inside game, but we had all shooters. So, I mean, either way, it was kind of hot, and it was kind of a feast or famine, one or the other. This year, it appears that we've got several of both. Now, the inside game, and this is what we were going to talk about, John, Thomas Bryant, Max Bielfeld, the two freshmen, Colin Hartman, there to me is the big question mark after all the losses of the outs of the offseason, or how does Thomas Bryant fit in right away, especially as a freshman? How long can he go? Does he hit a wall quickly or not at all? And there's a lot of questions up front with this team.
His foot's already in a walking cast.
All right. He's not alone.
It didn't look like it affected him on Saturday. We went over to
it was a hell of a dancer.
And I think
you wouldn't have known it if you didn't read about it in the paper.
Dave's question is accurate because Tom Crean has said we are doing this hyper cautiously with Bryant because they can't afford that.
Right.
Because if Max Bielfeld and Colin Hartman are your post options,
we're back heading to last year.
Heading into the Big Ten season, Bielfeld didn't start at Michigan.
Yeah.
And Michigan didn't make the NCAA tournament. Did they?
No. Okay. Well, yeah, they were in they situations.
Were, they were. Yeah. The point is, they had some injury problems, and he
Max Bielefeld was their sixth man of the year, scoring 5.5 points a game.
And Hunter Pereira averaged how many points a
fair.
Game?
Yeah, we got to be fair with
and
Max.
Colin Hartman averaged 3.5 points a game.
A lot of people are putting a lot on Max. He's going to be a nice piece, but you can't put too much on
the
him.
The one thing you can put a lot on Max is he has played the physical game. He has played at the speed of the Big Ten for his entire career, and he does not have to learn that. Maybe like a freshman would have to, or Zeislav coming from a different league where the pace of play and the physicality of play is completely different. The Hoosiers have options, John, and that's what makes them a preseason darling, and they should be because of the potential. But until you unleash that potential, what's going to hurt this team? Simple. If they don't guard anybody and they don't shoot it well, that's the easiest way right now to look at it and say if they don't knock down shots, if they settle for too many jump shots, there's been nights you knock down 19 threes and it looks great. Mm-hmm. And the nights you make 7 or 8, doesn't look so great. And the next step is finding the next level of offense and finding any level defensively on a consistent basis.
Well, you watch during this season, especially when they get in the Big Ten, and pay attention to this. When they in the second half of games in the Big Ten, see how many times they get back-to-back-to-back stops in games.
Crane talks about that all the time, right?
Several times, they're going to be in good shape because offensively they can probably play with anybody in the country.
Well, here's what's interesting. You mentioned the
Bryant is a really good player, so they're going to be good.
John, you mentioned the rosters, and which way do you go on this? I like Robert Johnson as a player a lot, but keep in mind he's one of the guys last year that we're talking about that wasn't on. That was a team that wasn't any good defensively. So how much does this team have to rely on a guy like Max Bielefeld coming in and helping set a different tone on the defensive end, or have the guys that are returning bought into it to begin with? We hear they're buying into that. We hear they all have to get better on the defensive end to make the pros. So are they really buying into it, and are they taking that over into the games or not? And is it a change in personnel that has to bring it
about? Troy Williams isn't going to all of a sudden learn how to guard the post.
Well, he's not going to be Brandon Dawson, no.
Colin Harmon's not going to grow to 6'10 and all of a sudden be a post.
But they can obviously be better.
Indiana's angle last year was, we're going to outscore you because we can't out-physical you.
Because of the inside
And then the
game,
days you don't make those baskets, that's where they struggled.
Absolutely.
John,
I mean,
thanks.
Time will tell, but they have to be able to play some defense. If they can play some defense,
no question,
they have a chance to go a long, long way.
John, thanks for the call.
Offense is something that a lot of teams simply don't have a lot of, and they've got a bunch of it.
John, we got to let you go. Thanks for the call, as always. 333-2665 is our phone number. I mean, there's no question the defense goes a long way with this team. We saw it last year. You know, it was laughable at times last year, and I've certainly heard about it and talked about it in the off season. But again, to me, we've heard, you know, what's interesting about this is you've heard from a couple guys who had pro aspirations after last season. We were up in the air about whether they were going or not. They all heard about their defense from the pros. So to me, it has that attitude change has to start from those guys in particular. They're your best players. They're the ones that have the most of the broadest feedback at this point in time that they need to get better there. Not just the coach yelling at them. The coach yells at him sometimes. Yeah, it goes in one ear and out the other. But if the scout comes in, if Danny Ainge comes in the door, or somebody like that comes in the door, Doc Rivers says, "You know what? We ain't taking you because you can't guard a lick." That should and hopefully will make a difference.
Part
of
growing up, and depending how quickly you want to grow up as well. We have on line number one.
Sometimes we forget names. It happens.
Who is this again?
Is it Jay by any chance?
That's Jay.
It's Jay. Hey,
good,
Jay.
Buddy. What's going on?
Wonderful, guys. Twice in 1 week. You know, double your pleasure. How you like that?
Well, we're happy you joined us.
I think the biggest key to Indiana basketball being as successful as the prognosticators are expecting them to be this year is going to be Coach Kareem being able to have a consistent rotation coming off the bench and spelling your starters and not having to question who he's putting in the ball game and worry about these rotations. I think that has been the biggest dagger in IU basketball over the last season or two is you can't really look down the bench and say, oh, you're my sixth man. I can definitely throw you in.
Yeah, it was almost up for grabs last year, wasn't it? Guys trying to play themselves into the role, playing themselves out of that role. I think the instability didn't create any stability.
If you see consistency out of their play when they get in, then they'll fall more into roles that you're comfortable using as a coach. If they're all over the map, then you search for things.
Yeah, you roll in the dice.
And
so
also,
they can help sort that out some themselves,
right,
also.
But I also feel that it falls back on the coach to
set those expectations,
inform those players as to what their roles are. Hey, I'm putting you in the game. Don't just start jacking a bunch of threes because that's not who you are. You know, and I think, you know, that goes into it. Now, it's like you guys were just talking about, goes in one ear, out the other. So we don't know. We're not at practice every day. Coach might have been trying to express that to these guys, and they just were unwilling to grab it.
You just nailed it, Jay, and here's what the next step is. Now you have competition for places. Last year, maybe you didn't have
as much. We heard about that last year.
You heard about it last year, but the proof...
I don't buy it now until I see whether
the proof is there are plenty of guys who can, again, fight for those spots. And just like a lot of young kids do, they play really well in spurts and really bad for spurts. So you have to have guys that can hold the water. Colin Hartman did a great job being an undersized power forward until he got into the Big Ten season.
Well, yeah.
And then he was an undersized small forward.
And
what's
interesting to me about this particular team is you have flexibility in how you line yourself up. And we just talked about it with John, and that is, do you go small? I mean, you could go ultra small once again and have Thomas Bryant four guards and take Troy out of the game. Exactly. Or do you put three guys? Is Troy your three and you're much bigger up front? You've got different options this year than you had last year.
But that goes back to what is your offensive identity for your basketball program? You look at teams such as Syracuse, for example. They are a 2-3 zone defensive team. You know what they're going to run offensively. Princeton, they're running their offensive system. Dribble drive offense down there with Coach Calipari at Kentucky. The programs that have been successful year in and year out have longevity of being successful are those teams that have a consistent offensive set so that the young guys are learning from the older guys as to what they're trying to do offensively. And I think, you know, beyond depth, I think that has also been a major problem within the system is that you cannot pinpoint to IU basketball over the last two or three seasons and say, this is our offense, that's what we're going to do. So you talk about guard play and things like that. If we're going to go small and go with a four-guard set and go with a four-round-one dribble-drive style offense, that's fine. Then go with it and let that be your identity for the season. Don't try to reinvent the wheel three or four games into the season because it's not working for you. I think that's what these preseason games are for. That's what preseason basketball practices are for is, create your identity offensively and go with it and roll with the punches. And if at the end of the season, I know myself as a fan, if at the end of the season he's played the same offense consistently for 25 games, whether it worked or didn't work, he can lay his hat on and say, hey guys, you know what? I installed my offense.
Yeah, you know, I haven't found a fault in your argument yet, Jay. I'm sitting here nodding my head with you. When you ask what Indiana does well, 2 years ago they were a lockdown defensive team with Noah Vonleh. And then last year was kind of, we're going to play fast. We want to do this, and we want to get up and down, and we want to shoot a lot, and we want to have extra possessions, and we want to get deflections and do all that. We want to do everything, but we got to do something.
I don't know that any of it matters until you're consistent with something.
That's the point, trying everything to get to know.
But again, I don't care what Tom Crean goes to bed at night and says this is my offense with. I hope that if he goes in and after three games their offense is no good because his offense stinks, and I'm not saying he is, but if something isn't working, I hope he goes back and says, well, what can we do that works well? Last year if they had a system and Colin Hartman was your center, it wouldn't have worked. They changed some things they were doing so that Colin Hartman as a center could work out for them on the offensive end and put pressure on people. It wasn't Final Four material, but they managed to get through a few games doing that. Wasn't pretty.
But I think if you look in the Big Ten from top to bottom, there are several teams in there that were consistently good without a guy that you could say, wow, they've got an unbelievable center. Teams that have played smaller with guys who, quote-unquote, on paper are centers, but really at the pro level, guys like Kaminsky, Wisconsin, in the Big Ten, yes, he's probably a center, but in the NBA, he's more of a power forward.
The good Michigan teams didn't have any centers.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I think, you can't – I think if you say, well, we didn't play well because we didn't have a big man, okay, fine, then work with the pieces that you have. And if you have really, really good guard play, which – supposedly we do between Yogi and Blackman and
Johnson,
some of the other pieces.
Zeisloft.
Then you should be able to score a lot of points and stop using the excuse of we don't have a big man. Well,
and you don't press either.
Right.
Yeah. Jay, good job. We're way up against it, buddy. Good job. We'll do more basketball coming up this month. Good stuff. Jay's always paying attention.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Jay. Look, we've had good centers the last few years, just not last year. Noah Vonleh, Cody Zeller for 2 years before him.
Noah Vonleh, 8 rebounds for breakfast.
Yeah.
Ate him, 11.
And we don't know what Thomas Bryant's going to be like.
No, but we hope it's good.
But, at least we've got talent coming in the door. We'll see how it translates. And, of course, that's going to be a huge story with Indiana basketball this year. We've got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Big weekend, of course, of college and pro football. Got the World Series underway and an exciting Game 1.
We haven't talked
about the World Series at all. But
great game last night.
Look, I don't know how many fans are Mets fans out there. We know one. Let's be fair here. This is the old, wouldn't it be great if... Kansas City hasn't won a World Series in forever.
85. And Mets haven't won in 86.
They are the classic small market team that shouldn't be competing at this level the way the economics are, and here they are.
They're 22nd in payroll, and the Mets are 20th, interestingly enough. Mets have a lot of young talent as well that's all vested, where they don't have to sign them to any huge contracts for the next couple years as well. So it was good baseball last night after the first pitch in the bottom of the first inning when Cespedes and Conforto got their signals crossed inside the park home run. First pitch of the series. 14 innings, 5 hours and 9 minutes later, the Royals win. Ned Yost had an interesting comment I heard driving in this morning. Boy, the only two things you don't want to do in the World Series is play a 14-inning game and lose it. Well, throw in there that they beat the Mets ace, who was up 3-1 in the sixth inning. He couldn't get out of the sixth, or barely got out of the sixth, got out tied. So you knock off a big one, you're at home and you take care of that, and now you've got a chance to go up 2-0, and that's a good Royals baseball team. They had that division sewn up, Dave, in the middle of June.
Johnny Cueto going for them tonight, former Red.
Two Reds in a row.
Against Jacob DeGrom.
Whoa, that's the wrong button. But there we go.
Just after 8 o'clock on Fox for the broadcast there. So
DeGrom is really good. You got good pitching matchups in this series. You got good baseball in this series, and that's what makes it exciting.
And Pacers start off tonight at Toronto. Can't say completely different team, but a significantly different team.
We'll see if their up-tempo
offense. Roy Hibbert and David West have hit the road, and Monte Ellis joining the team among others. Miles Turner is questioning whether he'll be ready to start the season.
He was warming up, so they said he's probably going to get going. I'm guessing the rookie's going to have a little adrenaline tonight to take care of all that. So we'll see how the Ellis, Paul George, George Hill axis works itself out. We'll see if the Pacers play quicker like they said they would.
A lot of shots. If you liked IU basketball last year, you might see a lot of shots out of this Pacers team in the same vein. Hey, folks, we got to head on out of here. Remember, NFL football tomorrow night, Miami at New England, and sectional football on Friday. We will be back with you Monday. You've been in the zone.